Hey, everybody, it's Brad Gilmore. Before we start the show today, I just have to stop and thank you. Yes, that's right. Thank you, the listeners, for telling somebody about this show, for telling a friend, a loved one, a coworker, family member, cousin, significant, I don't care. Well, thank you, all right, for lending us your ears each and every single week. It's people like you. Yes, people like you listening right now on your iPod, on iTunes, podcast, app, in your car, in school, at work, when you should be doing things. It's people like you that keep this show going and have kept this show going for almost 3 years now. So I wanted to take this time to personally thank you, because you telling somebody brings more people aware of this product. You going on bradgilmore.podbean.com and donating to our PayPal keeps this show going so you can have this audio entertainment every Monday for free. I just wanted to take the time on behalf of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We thank you for listening. Continue to tell people about it. Continue to talk about it on social media. And use that hashtag BG Show, because it is how we keep this thing going for you, for the world, for me, for us. We're in this together. For us, and most importantly, for free. So with that being said, I want y'all now to enjoy the show.
Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good, Space City, the great city? It's your boy, Roots Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody. Good morning, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand. DJ Motai, it is a cold day when we're recording this. I am freezing right now in my home. We're doing this. You're via FaceTime audio. You're FaceTime audioing.
Yes.
Which is my favorite thing to say.
What? It might be cold, but guess what? We got this.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, and we got this. We appreciate all y'all for tuning in. Once again, if you're tuning in via iTunes, appreciate it. Go give us 5 stars. Leave a little review. If you're tuning in via Podbean, follow our Podbean, which I think is a thing you can do now, Motai, and then go leave a review and 5 stars and subscribe on iTunes. We appreciate all the love that y'all have shown us so far. And like we said last week on the show with our episode with DMD, DJ DMD, Peaches Motai is no longer with the Brad Gilmore Show. We thank her for everything that she's done for the show, all the time and energy that she's put into it. But we are trying not to – you can't replace Peaches Motai.
You can't. That's not possible.
It's impossible to replace Peaches. We are, though, looking for a third host of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. If you listening think you have what it takes, or if you know anybody who has what it takes, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter at Brad Gilmore Show with a press kit and maybe a resume, and we'll definitely talk. We definitely are looking for somebody here very quickly. Hopefully by the next time we have an episode, we're going to have someone new to help us out with the show. But like we said, Peaches is irreplaceable. Don't think we're trying to do that. It can't be done. It cannot be done. But today, Motai, we do have a good show for you. We have a series of interviews. We have 2 interviews. One, would you like to tell us who our first interview of the day is, Motai?
We have the one and only of 2011, Avery Davis, Ave 11.
Ave 11 is on the show.
Producer, drummer, instrumentalist.
Ave 11.
Is that the right word?
You did it, Motai. That was a good intro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
That was nice. I like you. See, Motai, are you drinking a shake today?
Nah, dude.
You're not drinking a shake on fake Monday mornings? Hashtag fake Monday mornings. Hashtag BG show. Man, dude, you need to be drinking the shake, but you're turned up. You're turned up because of the cold weather.
I'm turned up for some reason. You know, I'll tell you why later. I'll tell you why off the air.
Ooh.
It's crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nothing like that, man.
But when this goes live, we are here on Monday. This is, I believe, February. What's going to be this Monday? Is it February the
31st? 1, 2, 3.
The 3rd. Yeah. Today is February the 3rd here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. And our other interview, aside from Ave 11, which is a great interview, we talk about how he got started in producing, talk about his favorite drummers, producers, his thoughts on the Grammys. But not only do we have that, we have another new, brand new, fresh out of the can interview with the one and only three-time WCW champion and, in my eyes, future Hall of Famer, Diamond Dallas Page is back on the show to talk all things from DDP Yoga to the recent announcement of Jake the Snake Roberts going into the WWE Hall of Fame. A lot of stuff that we covered with Diamond Dallas Page and DJ Motai. What do you have coming up, good sir?
What do I have coming up?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I believe, let's see. I'm not going to be at Stars this weekend. That was this past weekend.
That was this past weekend.
Speaking about this past weekend, it was Chinese New Year's.
Oh.
On the 31st. So if you guys don't know what that is, it's pretty much, Chinese New Year's or Asian New Year's.
So is it all Asia? Those?
But, it doesn't matter what Asia.
So everyone, so
whoever come in contact with, happy New Year, happy Chinese New Year,
Definitely. You sounded crazy when you said happy Chinese New Year. I'm not gonna lie to you,
bro. You know why? Do you know why? Because for Chinese New Year's, you ever seen those red envelopes? You get money in those red envelopes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So this is a family thing that you do at the Tuan Tuan Tien Tran house.
Yeah, I guess so, with the family. Yeah.
That's great, man. And you can also see DJ Motai tonight. I believe tonight at the Debonair Lounge.
Yes, I was just going to say that, yeah.
And you'll see me too. You'll probably hear our radio promo here after the morning music mix by DJ Motai. But also come check me out March the 2nd at the Scope Show. And February 15th, live TV taping for the Reality of Wrestling with special guest Big Sexy Kevin Nash. Booker T will also be there, Stevie Ray, Queen Charmel, Kelly Kevin, and your own Brad Gilmore will all be in attendance February 15th at the Clear Lake Sports and Recreation Complex at 16511 Diana Lane. Make sure y'all come check us out. It's going to be a good night of television tapings, and you can see us every Saturday morning, or I think it's technically actually Motai Sunday morning. It's Saturday going into Sunday at 2 in the morning on the Cube. Set your DVR if you don't stay up that late, and you can see the Reality of Wrestling that way via television. And stay tuned to the Brad Gilmore Show and to my Twitter for a big announcement coming up from the world of Brad Gilmore. Even DJ Motai knows what I'm talking
about.
Oh, man,
hey. Yeah, you kind of hit me with that surprise. I'm curious. You have to tell me off air, dude.
I will. I'm going to tell you off air. As soon as we get off air, I'm going to tell you. But for right now, that's all we have for you. So we're going to kick it over to DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
And then we'll be back with our interviews with Ave 11 and Diamond Dallas Page as I continue my podcasting from my house.
From your house and in my we're like an hour and a half away from each other right now.
That's weird. And this show's gonna be about an hour and a half long. So I could technically listen to the show as I'm driving to your house.
You could do that, but why would you drive to my house? It's freaking cold.
It is cold. Let's stay inside and let's listen to DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We'll be back once again. Interviews from Ave 11 of 2011 and three-time WCW champion Diamond Dallas Page. DJ Motai, play that funky music, white boy. Oh, you're not white. Awkward.
You're white.
Hey, everybody. This is Brad Gilmore.
And this is Kyle Hubbard.
And we want y'all to come check out our new podcast, The Announce Table.
We'll be going over all the significant events in professional wrestling history that changed the game forever.
That's right, Kyle. So y'all can go to iTunes right now and subscribe to The Announce Table with Brad Gilmore and Kyle Hubbard.
What's up, everybody? This is your man Brad Gilmore, aka Lord Trillmore, and I'm with my guy, the Duke of Debonair, Tay Mitch.
We want to invite you beautiful people out to the Debonair Lounge this Monday.
You'll be surrounded by positive vibes and hear the best live music in the city of Houston.
Just ask my man Kirko.
What it do, man? It's Kirko Mays. Every Monday, I need the whole city to come out. My partner, Tay Mitch, and my partner, Brad Trillmore, is going down to the Debonair Lounge, man. Y'all know what it do.
Debonair Lounge, 4212 Alameda Road, doors at 9 p.m.
Rapping, being uplifted by the clapping. See, the sun was made to fade away the tears. Some of those who couldn't make it over the years, we're trying to break the curse and reimburse those who still live in fear. See, my artistry is a part of me, and it's hard to see why we're taught to be. But those who see my pain and understand this game realize this is more than just fame. We're trying to make it. No way we've made it. You say you got it. Well, now it's taken. You ever felt this is called passion? You ever heard this real rapping mixed with some rock? A little soul and some people in my shows packed to the dough, hands in the air, feet on the floor, trying to lead the stage, but they wanted more. Oh, you didn't know we doing impossible. I just took a mic and changed my life. Now everything I write is reaching new heights, so we're flying high, high as a kite.
Say so we creeped up, oh no way. Got what we want, got what we need. Got in the car, increase the speed. 1, 2, 3, now you know we don't play G-A-M-E's. Get in the room, camera start the zone. Flowing like a flume, turn the volume up so loud. Wall to wall sound, bring the roof down. Then insert the crowd, twist it like a dread. Bust a couple legs, make a little bread. Then go to bed, what y'all is? How y'all lame? What we is? Almost fame. Where am I? What's my name? First name Brad, last name James. Living like kings, doing big things. Verse start to end, Dallas start to sing. Birds flying high, look at the sky. Living life side till I die.
I'm into the thick, petite and dainty, abstract, stereotypical, off-the-wall type of painting. Stop smoking, yeah, outgoing, calm in the morning, but mostly cranky. Fresh and every man knows how to keep her phone stanky. Hilarious in the nights, we're not afraid to have a nice. This my every chance she gets, when she splits like ice cream. Sweet, drool at the clicks of her feet, cool in every aspect, cries in victory, not defeat. I know you're nice, but sometimes she keeps her room neat. Such an intellect, but she was born and raised in the street. Doesn't believe in the independence thing. She wants a man and he wants the same. So blind in the middle of a case.
most popular, still considered a lane. I wanna say, hey babe, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill. I said, hey babe, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill. Now if I told you that my heart's the lock and you were the key, would you open up a love externally and let it free? Yeah. Cause when I saw your face, I could hardly breathe. Words from my mouth, I could hardly speak. Your presence has a tendency of doing this to me. Yeah, you make my decay beautifully exciting while reciting a few lines to a damn name. Or when I use reciting, I'm actually providing an example of the word game. Now game a word used to explain the terms you slang when you want to get the chick, or the terms you slang you want to maintain a date from the tricks. I said, hey baby, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill. I said, hey baby, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill. The way that I treat a woman, you say it's kinda lame. You say it wouldn't work and you'd say I'm running. But I think different, other dudes disrespect. Always telling lies, trying to keep her in check. But please, that's not the way to live. First instinct is to take and never give. But me, I believe that a relationship needs great communication, flowing conversation. Indeed, the relationship was a novel they designed to read. Don't hook up on the first night and try to plant you some seeds. If you want to know the rest, then give me your number, you'll see. Oh. But there's one more thing I gotta say. Hey baby, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill. I said, hey baby, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you could chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you could chill.
What it do, dog? What it do? What it do? What it do, dog? What it do?
Swing your man, get nigga holy man, can't control it, man, can't follow man. All the bad hoes wanna roll with me. Oh shit, got some old hoes, got Hennessy, pro medicine. I don't even smoke, but let's roll a sweet. I'm rolling on choppers, and we ain't worried about them boppers. Hell no, man, I'm with my niggas. And I'm just trying to see the whole world with my niggas. I got this piece of chain, I got this diamond ring. Man, I bought everything I got and you can't say the same. I keep it chill, man, cause I'm living comfortable. I'm 23 and ain't a bitch I ain't done before. I done already came down. So this time I gotta come through. Chunking deuces out the window, getting to the money. And I'm hollering, what it do, what it do, what it do now. Nah. What it do, what it do, what it do now. Nah. What it do, what it do, what it do now. Nah. What it do, what it do, what it do now.
Close your eyes up and open your mind up. Some niggas where I'm from live for money, vagina. Most is gone before they 24. And every summer I know them guns go. I know I'm blessed because I seen the rest. I seen a fiend that was a queen before the D inject. And we is blacks, it's supposed to be rejects. And I hope just get shot down, that's your hoop. Can't get no school, so they shoot niggas after class. But it's some of them that give us hope. Sniper Jones and Ty Law, if I can name a few. Sam Young and James White, my nigga, what to do? Still, I'm the only one to do it without throwing oops. Did a real deal with the broken boot. On the meal ticket for select a few, and I do think my respect is due. If I get a brown bag, I'ma give it right back. And last day, let my niggas do. Somebody let my niggas do. Yeah. H-Town, nigga, what to do?
I done already came down. So this time I gotta come through. Chunking deuces out the window, getting to the Monday. And
and I'm hollering, what it do, what it do, what it do, nah. What it do, what it do, what it do, nah. What it do, what it do, what it do, nah. What it do, what it do, what it do, nah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On the man.
DJ Motai, how you doing, man?
What's up? I'm doing good.
It's a snowy, cold January day here in Houston, Texas.
And you know what? You know what? Do we know if the weather is going to be the same on when this airs?
It probably won't be. It's probably going to be burning hot.
Well, if it is, then you guys must know we're recording this on Tuesday, where the was it 28th?
The 28th. Yeah.
School is out. Apparently, some roads are closed and some roads are icy.
It's icy and, over here where I am.
Yeah, man. I got snow for a couple minutes. Brad apparently had snow for like 5 minutes.
It did. It did snow in Friendswood for about 5 minutes. Now, we're saying that to say we decided to I'm home studio Julio right now, and I'm here recording in my guest bedroom for our podcast today. Special podcast. But right now, let's Motai, we can talk more in the intro to the show. Let's bring in our guest right now. He is the producer for 2011. He is also a drummer, guitar, multi-instrumentalist. This is one of the most talented people who I've come into contact with in my life. And I consider him, Motai, one of my best friends. And maybe even one of yours. I don't know how y'all's relationship is.
I'm really excited to meet this guy because he's just so famous and he does some good work. His work is so crazy. His beats are crazy.
Don't be like that, Motai. He is famous, and he actually has. Not only did he produce the 20 Summers project in full, he also has a track on the upcoming Prince Canon album Classics. I would like to welcome Ava Levin to the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
How you doing, man?
Thank you for the introduction. I was like, am I allowed to say anything? I don't know. I was just like sitting here.
You're supposed to be quiet the whole time.
I can say things now, correct?
Yeah. Now's the time where you can talk.
My introduction is over.
Your intro is over. Now you can actually talk.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
How you doing? How's the weather over where you are?
It's the same where you are. It's cold as hell. The snow is done. The very brief snow we got. It looks like the icicles are melting now.
Can I mention something? If you listeners must know, we're actually calling from three different areas of Houston.
Yeah, yep. I'm in the southeast side.
I'm on the west side in Katy.
On the north side.
We almost cover the whole map. Well, I'm southeast, west, and north, so we kind of get all directions going here.
Trey and Dallas are south.
Trey and Dallas are south, so like we got a lot of stuff swirling right now, as far as directions go. But Ave, you man, or you've been on the Brad Gilmore Show before with the rest of 2011. It's interesting, man. I just wanted to talk to you because a lot of people don't realize they see us perform live and they think, okay, he's the drummer live. But a lot of people still to this day don't realize that you do all the production.
That is true.
You make the beats.
Yeah, they don't recognize.
They don't recognize Ave Levin.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know how I feel about that. It's really interesting. It's a strange dynamic. I think being a drummer, you're used to always being in the back. So it's something that was never, upsetting, obviously,
But you know how there's like
the back of the stage. That's just the way it is. But it's really interesting.
I find it weird. And I guess people just sometimes think that we get our beats third party or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I understand. You have to play the background a little bit when you're a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at producers nowadays, and let me get your opinion on this. What do you think of the producer who puts out songs featuring other people, like a DJ? I guess not a DJ Khaled, but like a Mike Will Made It has the 23 record with Wiz Khalifa, Juicy J, and Miley Cyrus. How do you feel about that? A producer playing a more prominent role in the foreground as opposed to like someone who's only in the studio, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm actually a really big fan of that. I mean, in a way, it really reminds me of what we do, though, you know, because it's like the producer's basically taking that role as the head. And not to say that I would do that, but I'm not just making beats and sending them to somebody and letting them put their verse on it. You know what I mean? And so I feel like that's the great thing about producers having self-released tracks is that they really get to, get what they want on their track. And so I kind of get, I know it's kind of something that I have the privilege of, I guess I get that privilege with 2011.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now you obviously I've been here throughout the genesis of your production life.
Yeah, you got me started in producing.
I did, okay, I'm not going to take all the credit for that, but so I'll if you're going to offer the credit, I'll take it. But
you taught me how to string Apple GarageBand loops together. So
now that I did.
Definitely where I started.
Now that I did. And you know what's funny is, I taught you how to string the loops together in GarageBand, and then once you mastered that, you started making your own beats with the musical typing, and then you moved to Logic.
I took it from there. Yeah.
You moved to Logic, and then just kept growing. And right now, I'm still recording even my podcast through GarageBand.
Oh yeah, man!
I haven't grown as much as you, but you've played the drums pretty much your entire life. When did you start playing drums?
Yeah, I started playing drums when I was about 5 years old. Well, taking drum lessons and everything. Got my own drum set when I was 6 years old.
And why the drums, though? I feel like, most kids want to get the guitar or even the piano even. I think guitar maybe might be the main thing. Why'd you go the drum route?
Drums, something I was just always so drawn towards drums. I mean, I took piano lessons when I was like 4 years old. 5 years old, obviously it didn't really hold my attention. It doesn't really keep many kids' attention.
That's a hard thing to do.
Drums are always something that, like, I saw that and I was like, man, that's badass. Like, they're making a loud noise, having a ton of fun. It seemed like something that I could do, like, you're just banging on stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed really fun. And I used to live right behind a bar, and not like in the alleyway behind a bar, not in a home.
I used to live in the alleyway with the rest of the homies.
I lived in a home that neighbored a bar.
There you go.
And whenever I was like preschool, my mom would go hang out there like in the day before they opened. And I remember one time there was a drum set set up on the stage, and I just ran up there and just started playing them. And I didn't know if I was allowed to play those drums, but I just did, and apparently they didn't mind.
That's cool, man. How old were you?
What's it?
How old were you when that happened?
I was maybe 3 or 4.
3 or 4. So you kind of had like an early fascination with the drums. Were there any, like, because I know you're on our last podcast with DJ DMD, I actually talked about how your father, Avery, put me onto a lot of early hip-hop stuff like N.W.A. and the Ghetto Boys. Yeah. I can only imagine, though, he put you on a lot of maybe classic rock or something like that that really piqued your interest in the drums. Were there any, like, early bands or early drummers you remember your dad or even your mom playing to you? Or any member of your family or anybody for that fact, that really just kind of influenced you and you're like, man, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah, definitely. I know growing up, one of my biggest influences and still to this day was Led Zeppelin, John Bonham. He's probably one of my biggest drum influences. And then, so from then, like, I guess my dad, he had quite the vast musical knowledge. So,
yes.
He would always kind of just turn me on to new drummers that I had never heard before. And I remember, must have been elementary school, he showed me The Roots. And, just like hearing Questlove, I was like, whoa, like, this is so much different. Like, this is not what I expected, like, a drummer to do.
Let me ask you this. Okay, at the time. Let me ask you this. So, like, what's the difference between, the style of how John Bonham would play the drums for Led Zeppelin as opposed to how Questlove plays them for The Roots?
That's tough. Well, it's not tough, but it's definitely, for The Roots, it's definitely, like, I definitely use a lot of, like, Questlove-inspired stuff whenever I play. It's not about being, using the drums as, like, this monstrous, like, thunder, as opposed to just keeping the groove. Kind of being back in the pocket and just keeping the song moving, you know, if that makes any sense.
No, I definitely get that.
Yeah, it's just not so much of the technicality of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Just about making it sound awesome and just fitting with the rest of the instrumental and with the MCs as well.
I don't now playing for like playing drums for, you know, you played in a couple bands before 2011, but was it hard to adapt to playing almost because you and DJ Motai, right?
Yeah.
DJ Motai, y'all are kind of like the Wonder Twins, and that was a throwback if y'all remember that. Y'all are the Wonder Twins, and y'all have to kind of work together. But Avery, different from when you were playing in a band, to where if maybe the rhythm starts to fall off on one end, y'all can all kind of slow down or speed up or catch it back on according, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing with the DJ, you know, Motai's playing a track and you're playing the live drum. So if you fall off, there's not much Motai can do to help you get back on.
No. I mean, me, like, I'm essentially playing to a metronome. I mean, like, me falling off, like, that's not nothing he can really do. That's me. I have to catch back up again. And, I don't know. I've gotten really great at playing with the. I mean, like the instrumentals, they don't get off beat. You know what I mean? They're made like mathematically. They don't get off beat. And so, like, I think it was pretty easy for me to catch on to that. I was in drumline in high school.
Yeah,
and I'm so used to that metronome and just always being perfectly on beat and just really precise with everything I do. And I think it's definitely, you know, made it a lot easier being in 2011.
No, I can only imagine that it helps. Now, I do remember, you know, early 2011 recording sessions, being at your father's house, you know, recording in your bedroom. I do remember, though, this. I remember seeing a lot of iconography of a certain band and a certain member of a certain band. I remember a lot of Peter Criss stuff around the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember, like, magnets or and like a mug or something like that. Peter Criss, you know, obviously the Catman from Kiss. Was he a big influence for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That, I mean, he was a great drummer, not to discredit him at all, but, like, not so much even from his, like, musicality to the drums. Just, like, I always just, like, idolized just the presence of Kiss and just their showmanship.
Yeah.
And that was just something that was just so cool to me when I was young. You know, it's like these guys are like, they are rock stars, you know, they're not just normal. I mean, like, you see so many bands and artists where they're just normal guys who are just making music.
Yeah.
But these guys are like from another planet.
They're like next level, you know, making it. Yeah.
Doing things that I can't do. Cause I mean, I could, when I was young, I would play along to all the records out here, you know, I could play along to anything, but these guys are doing something that I couldn't do in my, you know, playing drums in my living room.
Yeah, they took it to the next level. And, you know, we were just actually – we had a conversation in depth recently, Avery, about Kiss, because this year they're finally going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
They finally got their induction, and they're going in the same year as Nirvana and a few other acts. Do you feel like almost the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame waited too long to put Kiss into the Hall of Fame?
I definitely feel like – they've been an overdue, nod to the band.
Mm-hmm.
They do tend to get discredited a lot.
And do you think they get discredited for, one, the spectacle of what Kiss was, and for the Kissco era?
I think maybe not so much for the spectacle as much as the fact that the music, like the subject matter, is all, you know, relatively the same.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much about
doing girls. You know,
yes. Yeah, since they're all about that. I mean, you know, obviously that doesn't give you a whole lot of credit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, their music isn't the most, you know, they don't exactly span the musical spectrum of, you know, difficulty and just variety.
Yeah, I could see why some people might throw some shade at Kiss, but Kiss,
yeah,
I think, definitely deserves to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm glad they're finally there, but I just wanted to kind of get your outlook on that.
I'm so glad they're there. I think that it's definitely well deserved.
Now, we talked a lot about
and they've also mastered sign that they've also mastered marketing like no one else has.
Oh, yeah. They're probably the best.
And branding. You
know, yeah, when it comes to bands, they're probably the best band brand. Band brand?
Yeah.
Band brand. Sure. They're probably the best band brand. They're probably the best band brand. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we talked a lot about the drummers that have influenced you and kind of that background. Let's get more into the production now. You mentioned that I got you into making beats, and you're giving me all the credit for why you're so amazing today. And I'll take that credit. I like that credit. But tell me the real story. What happened? How did you get into really making beats, and how did you get so good at it?
Yeah. You know, really, like, I got a computer, I got a MacBook whenever I was going into high school, right before high school started, and it was given to me so that I could record my band. I had, like, this awesome mixer, and it was like, I'm going to start recording my band, I'm going to do, you know, like, my own EPs or whatever. You wanted to rap, and you're like, you're going to make beats for me. Sure. Whatever, like, whatever, you know, like, we're friends, so I'll help you out if you want. You know?
I'll do you this favor, kid.
Yeah. There was, and like, to me, really, at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of, I don't know, I just didn't really think of like, hip-hop as it wasn't much to me, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely listened to it, because, like, my dad would play me stuff, my mom would play me stuff, my mom used to listen to, you know, a bunch of hip-hop and R&B, and, like, you know, a whole lot of, like, neo-soul. And then, like, my dad would listen to, like, old school, like, he was listening to, like, a lot of gangster rap, and then also even, like, a lot of Eminem, which he didn't let me listen to until I was older, and then he had to have a talk with me and be like, hey,
hey.
You can't, these words that he uses are not good words.
You're not allowed to say these outside of this house.
Disclaimer.
He really gave you parental advisory.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he would all, like, you know, I would only listen to that, like, with him.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember what we were talking about before.
We were talking about how you got into beats.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool.
You didn't think, okay, you weren't
really
into hip-hop.
Like, I never really thought, like, oh, man, I want to make hip-hop beats. I never really thought about it as, you know, just, I never paid any attention to it. Whenever I started stringing these, like, little loops together, I was like, man, this really sounds stupid. This sounds like shit. Like, I don't want to attach my name to this. This isn't good. And, you know, I just set out to really be good at it. You know, I just was like, this would be something really cool to be able to do. I don't know anyone who's writing and recording all of their own music, playing every instrument on it.
Yeah.
By that point, I had already picked up guitar as well. So I was like, I started recording guitar tracks and just, you know, messed around putting hip-hop beats over them. You know, like, to me, that I thought was really cool. And I think part of the reason why, I guess, like, my style at the time was so, out there, was just because, like, I didn't know that much about hip-hop.
So you were just kind of putting sounds together and just trying to make something sound good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me, you know, like, recording guitar track, putting bass guitar on it, and then putting 808s on top of it and hoping it would sound good. And so, you know, it's what I thought to be a hip-hop beat.
Let me ask you this. Do you study, like I could tell you probably studied drummers, like we were talking about, you know, John Bonham and Questlove.
Mm-hmm.
Do you study producers now? Do you kind of look at them and say, okay, how did they do that? How did they make
sound?
Who are some of the guys you look at?
I found myself to be really analytical and almost kind of sometimes overly critical of producers. Big fan of people like Pharrell. Timbaland, and been also a big fan of just like a lot of those like experimental like things and like electronic stuff lately as well.
Yeah.
Lately I've been listening to a lot of like electronic and like electronic like indie stuff. I almost feel like I feel like this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but almost like the final frontier. It's just like that new thing that people have yet to figure out. I feel like a lot of times hip hop is like figured out, you know, people know what to do, but it's just really neat to listen to stuff besides hip hop for influence.
Yeah, I think any person who thinks that they're going to be able to make, like, say a producer of any genre, though, I think a producer of any genre who's foolish enough to think he can listen to his own genre and just keep improving that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
I think you need to go out there and you need to experience other sounds, other types of music to get better
textures
at what you're doing.
Textures and just everything.
And then you can take what you like from that and adapt it to your style or whatever. And that's how you get I think that's why guys like Pharrell are so amazing. And that's why let's actually talk about this now that I have you on the phone. Did you watch the Grammys?
No, I did not. But just actually, like maybe an hour ago, I watched quite a few of the performances on YouTube.
Okay. What performances did you watch?
Let's see. I watched Lord. I watched the Daft Punk one.
Daft Punk.
I watched Robin Thicke. Honestly, I think I watched almost all of them.
Okay. You watched Beyonce, Jay-Z?
Yeah, of course. That's the first one I watched.
Do you know a UK paper called Beyonce a whore for that performance?
I did see that. I saw that on Dana Dream.
Oh,
like,
cheap plug. DanaDream.com. Did you agree with that? Did you think she was a whore?
No, I didn't think she was a whore. Was she getting paid for sex on the stage? No.
No, which would have been a pretty high rating for the Grammys. So it would have been a pretty high rating. Did you enjoy her performance?
Yeah, I did. I could have gotten a little more energy out of it.
Yeah,
I thought the stage show was super awesome. Like the production of it and everything was awesome. At first, I didn't think she was actually singing, but I heard some stuff in there that was not in the recording, so that was nice to see that she was singing.
Yeah, she was actually singing.
Lip sync's not tight. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the lip syncing. Did you see the Macklemore performance?
Yes, I did.
Of Same Love. Okay, a lot of people are talking about this, and I know a lot of religious people. Most notably, Pastor John Gray from Lakewood Church. I saw him tweeting out during the performance saying it was blasphemous to the church and disrespectful. For that song to be performed during an actual marriage ceremony of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about it?
I don't think so at all. I think that, it was really cool. I was actually a really big fan of that. If these people would, if that's what they want for their marriage, then why not? It's not your wedding.
I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was like, I was like, whoa, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool.
I thought it was cool.
Ideal marriage at the wedding.
What I didn't like was Madonna, but, I thought she sounded terrible.
I didn't. And you know what? I hate to say this. I didn't like the other chick either.
Really? I thought it would have been better, if she would have just sang the whole, instead of Madonna. I thought it was really cool. I mean, because they brought out Madonna, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, on YouTube, it was like, Macklemore, Madonna. And I was like, whoa, what?
That is pretty cool, but if you think about it. I didn't like Madonna's singing on it either. But I didn't think the other chick was into the performance. She seemed like she was kind of holding back.
They did that at the VMAs as well, right? And I didn't think she was that into it either. I thought she sounded good, it sounded great, but I just, I don't know. I guess that's for the performers. Some performers don't show as much emotion when they perform.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Two more things. First of all, did Madonna's outfit look more like the Quaker oatmeal lady, or did Pharrell look more like the Arby's logo?
I think maybe I'd probably Madonna.
Madonna looked like the Quaker oatmeal.
Quaker-esque.
It was very Quaker-esque. Very Quaker-esque. A lot of people in the hip-hop community are kind of mad right now because they feel like Kendrick Lamar got snubbed, one for Best New Artist, Best Hip-Hop Album, and for Album of the Year. What are your thoughts?
I would definitely say that I do believe that he deserved a Grammy. I didn't really pay attention to the nominations, all that. I know what Macklemore won, Best Rap Album, correct?
Yeah, he won. Macklemore, I believe, won Best Rap Album and Best New Artist, right? Did he win Best New Artist?
I don't know.
No, he won Record. I think Rap Song of the Year. Song of the Year and Album of the Year.
I see that.
Rap Album of the Year.
Was it for Same Love?
No, it was for Thrift Shop.
Oh. Well, I could see that too, I guess. I mean, it was bigger than a lot of Kendrick Lamar stuff,
Yeah, I mean, he's had like 8 million.
I think maybe to a lot of actual like rap fans, that Kendrick Lamar was way bigger. But you know, you got to think on a much bigger scale than that.
Yeah, you got to think just outside of the microcosm of hip hop. You know,
yeah, you didn't hear Kendrick Lamar on all the pop stations. Also,
yeah, that's true. And Macklemore was everywhere. Macklemore was everywhere in 2013.
I don't think they have Kids Bop renditions of Mad City, you know? As dope as that would be.
As dope as a Kids Bop version of Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe would be. They don't have it. The remix with Jay-Z.
Maybe we can work on that.
We need to recruit some kids and record
that. We'll just go to elementary schools and just hang out in the playground. Yeah,
that's not creepy.
Yeah, not at all.
Oh man, but let me ask you this, and then we'll start to wrap this up. But first of all, Daft Punk album of the year, well deserved. I think it's well deserved. What do you think? Yes. He was up against Taylor Swift, Macklemore, Kendrick Lamar, and Sarah Bareilles.
Well, those are who. Yeah, if that's who he's up against, then yes, I do believe so.
Yeah, Daft Punk, Album of the Year, Random Access Memory, and Ava Levin.
That was a really good album.
It was a really, really good album. But I got to ask you this, Ava Levin, what can we expect from you here in the near future?
Ooh, I can't say too much. But near future, definitely expect Lost in 2011. Mm-hmm. Working with my dogs who bark in the background. Other people like my friends, Prince Cannon, Stocks. Definitely expect some. I'm not gonna say too much more. Just other things.
Just expect some big deals, or expect things that are gonna be a big deal.
Yes, big stuff, good stuff,
good stuff, solid stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right, where can they find if someone wants to get at you for beats? Where can they find you on for that?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely hit me up on Twitter. Or I guess, well, not Instagram, that'd be stupid. Twitter, though, it's at Ave11, which is spelled A-V-11.
A-V-11, spelled out.
Yes, sir. That is it.
And,
or email,
mm-hmm.
if you really want to, although it says that on my Twitter. But you can email me right now. It is avery.paul.davis@gmail.com. My personal email.
Yeah, that's personal right there. You just gave out the personal email with the full government.
I was gonna give my business one, but you know what? Like, hey, we're amongst friends.
We're amongst friends. Yeah, if you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, you're a friend. So it's all good. You know, and also, you know, go get him. Go follow him on Instagram at Davis Avery. And you can follow 2011 at 2011 Band on Instagram and 2011 on Twitter.
Yep, yep.
And if you want to hear Ave's production in full,
I'll go on Facebook.
Go add him on Facebook, and if you want to if you want to hear Ave's production in full, you can go to SoundCloud, type in Ave11, and also 20-summers.com to hear the full project produced solely by Ave11. Ave, Avery, Ave Dave, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much, sir.
No problem, brother, man. I will probably see you – I'll probably talk to you when we get off of the air, and then I'll probably see you soon.
For sure.
I man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
And we're back here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, and I got my main man. He's back on the show. His name, Diamond Dallas Page. Right now, he's the king of DDP yoga. Notice this time, Dallas, I didn't call it just yoga. This is DDP yoga. I figured it out finally.
That's very clear. When it ain't your mama's yoga, is your tag slang.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't regular yoga anyway, but it's all about really branding. And yeah, I really respect, you know, the mindset that all those other yogis have, but ours is just completely different.
You know, it is. I was talking to somebody about a friend of mine. She just started going back to like regular, you know, yoga, like in classes or whatever. And I've been on DDP yoga now for about 3 or 4 weeks now. And we were just talking about the differences, and really DDP isn't your mama's yoga. It really is a whole different kind of program. You know, just with even like, you know, the Diamond Dozen, the way, I don't know, you just formatted it different than any other, you know, type of yoga that there is out there?
I was trying to make it accessible, you know, and the first part, taking all the spiritual stuff out. Like, a lot of people will not do yoga because they think it's a religion. And I guess to some people it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see that, I guess.
Yeah, it's a workout, you know. You know, getting rid of the spiritual stuff and then creating what I call dynamic resistance, you know, which is really just isometrics meets isokinetics, which means engaging in the muscles while standing, virtually standing still, so there's no impact on your body, but still gives you that kick-ass cardiovascular workout. No yoga does that. No
yeah.
other workout does that, you know? So it really branded itself with the name. You know, I always, I make fun sometimes. I'll say, most yogis are very namaste. DDP yoga, way more TNA. You know? And of course, everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say TNA, but then I go, tone and attitude.
Okay.
You know, and that's, originally it was all about TNA. I developed this for guys. You know, when you develop something for guys, you know, guys want to do a really awesome workout. You know, that there's just happens to be beautiful women involved with them, that just makes it even more
hey,
fun.
Hey, that's just icing on the cake. That's just – it's a way to keep us interested, right? You know, it was funny because I saw you recently appear on Monday Night Raw with my good friend and mentor, Booker T, and y'all had a nice little exchange backstage. He was going to implement Booker T yoga, which I don't know. It could be a competitor for you, Diamond. How was that being back on Raw and being a part of that old school night?
Well, you know, I had a lot of fun. First of all, me and Book, you know, we go back 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, Booker T and I think Booker T is one of the, you know, the most quality driven character, you know, driven person of manner. He reeks character, and he's not afraid to tell you that he's been to the joint, you know, and spent some time in the joint and turned his whole life around. You know, came back out of it, you know, went and got his kid, who was, you know, the woman who he's with, at, you know, when they had the baby, you know, was in a foster home. Booker got him out, raised his boy, a single parent, and had an amazing career, and now married with two twins right now. So
yes.
Now he's father. He's Bill Cosby now. You know. But he's very funny. He's got a big heart. It was really special to be able to do something backstage with him and Ron Simmons. And in the beginning, because we did that spot that we did back there so many times, it was like DDP coming in for that shameless that self promotion plug. Yeah, by the end of it, they're both going, "Man, D, they're making you work for this." There was always some little tweak, and we nailed every one of them. You know, we just want to try it like this, try it like that. But I was working my ass off, and you know, we had a lot of fun with it. And Ron Simmons just could not believe I could take that leg and pull it over my head every take,
every
and hold it there. You know, we're talking about like 15 takes.
Jeez.
You know, so
and then you were nailing it every time, right? So why they keep
yeah.
making you go back and do it? Were they ribbing you?
Well, there was a little a couple different versions they wanted to try, and Vince really wanted to have Booker try it. And it really worked out better for me because I was saying, "Book, I don't think you should try this. This is an advanced move." "Oh, I got it. You know, so, you know, it was, you know, being able to take the DVDs and talk about the Max Pack and, you know, the whole deal. I mean, it was a damn infomercial for me on WWE TV. How much is that worth? That would have cost me, oh my God, that prime spot in the show?
Right.
That would have cost me upwards of, you know, six figures. You know, yeah. At least $30,000 to $40,000 for that minute and a half. You know, so.
Did you notice the sales go up after that?
Oh, absolutely. Because it just brings a whole other audience of people who are already seen. You know what's happening? A lot overseas too.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm on Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's always talking about DDP yoga. Chris Jericho, and I got him. I'm going to the Broken Skull, his Broken Skull Ranch down in Texas in April. I'm going to spend about 4 or 5 days with him on the ranch. And we're going to do some DDP yoga. We're going to film it and everything. And yeah, you know, hey, he's the hardest person to ever try to get to it. Guys like Chris Jericho, you know, we talk about it all the time. I saved his career, you know, by turning him on to my workout. So he tells everybody. I mean, if you look at the most recent guy, Dustin Rhodes has been doing it for 2 years.
Man.
He's back in that ring, you know, flying around like he's 22 again. He's 44.
I mean, everyone says it. Like, right now, Goldust's work in the ring is, I think, better than it was in the late 90s or even, you know, the early 2000s when he was back in his heyday, you know, in the Attitude Era. Like, the stuff he does now, like, I think he's giving Cody a run for his money.
He's really out there, you know, hitting bang. You know, Dustin was a, you know, I brought him in for my DDP yoga retreat last year.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife. And no one knew until he got there. I don't tell anybody. I do the retreat every July. But there'll always be one or two, you know, superstars there that will not be on the card. They won't be advertised, so you come. You know, they'll just be there.
Yeah.
And Dustin was there this year, and he loved it. He had a great time. He had a great time with all the people down there. And you know, it's just, we go to, if you go to DDPYogaRetreat.com, you can see the whole deal. You know, how we do it. The rooms are amazing. It's a 5-star resort, and really economically, I would hardly put anything on top of myself at all, really. You know, especially when you consider I'm doing workshops and workouts a couple times a day. And,
I saw that you were doing like a live workshop via, like, was it like on Skype or something? You had like this whole thing going.
Yeah, we're gonna actually blow this up and take your. Yeah, DDP Yoga is gonna become the Netflix of fitness. And that'll happen sometime in 2014. But I was talking about the retreat. I do workshops all over. And, like, when I do a workshop, it's not like just doing a 45-minute, you know, hour workout with me. It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about, you know, where DDP yoga comes from. I really break down breathing. I really get into dynamic resistance, the diamond dozen. And then we do a workout at the end. And then I stick around and do, you know, photographs and, you know, if everyone wants somebody to sign something or whatever. I'm doing one in WrestleMania. We just locked that deal down.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a big weekend.
Oh, yeah. Friday, Saturday before WrestleMania. We've already got a bunch of people already signed up. Go to DDPYoga.com on that. Just look under workshops and appearances. It'll be in that area. And that's also going to be over in the UK. And we just, I got a big Q&A tour I'm doing from London to Manchester to Belfast to Cork. In a couple other cities, but I'm also doing 2 DDP yoga workshops while I'm there. One will be in London on the 1st, and then I'll be in Manchester on the 8th. So,
DDP's everywhere right now, and you can't stop DDP yoga. It seems like we need to get you down. You know, talking back about Booker T, we need to get you down here at Booker T's promotion, Reality of Wrestling. We got to get you down there.
I was going to do that for him, but we just couldn't get the dates. So I told him any Saturday in April to let me know, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet with a date. If he does it soon, then it'll be any Saturday in May.
as soon as we get off the phone, Diamond, I'm going to call him, and I'm going to make sure we lock that down in April.
Bottom line is, I told him, look, give me the date, and I'll lock it down. But in April is when you know, I'm free right now, and then going into May, I got some dates there. But then, you know, it kicks back up in the summer. I'm already booked like a year out on some stuff. So,
jeez,
I definitely want to get down there and do it and get, you know, get his kids. And, you know, we got so many guys in the independent world doing DDP yoga, you know, and they know because that's going to help heal their bodies. You know, the crazy shit that they're doing to it.
Yeah, not even just indie wrestlers. Like, I mean, there are a lot of referees. Everybody right now is on. Crazy. DDP yoga. And let me ask you this while we're still talking about Book. This is the last thing I want to ask you about Book. What do you have any like great memories of you and Book back either on the road or in the ring back in the WCW days?
Yeah, one of my favorite memories with Book, because we did spend a lot of time on the road together and, you know, in the ring. So I can remember one time we went into some crazy move. I don't even know how we got through it. It got a huge pop, and I said, how the hell did we even do that? He goes, I don't know, but it sounded good. I went to the Joe Clark. You know, Joe Clark is the guy who did the movie Lean on Me. That's who the movie was about. That principal who like locked his kids into school, got the baseball bat out, and really like he was a no nonsense principal. Mm. And he was running in a prison for these kids that are literally high school kids that were going to prison. This was like the layover spot for them. And when like if you, you know, screw up one more time, you go to prison, they're going to prison.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that? And I had no idea about Booker's past. And after I got done doing my stuff, which, you know, it's pretty good, you know, it's pretty inspiring, my overcoming adversities and stuff, gave it over to Book, and I just, my jaw hit the ground. First of all, his story, but his delivery, you know, he was an awesome speaker and really hit right through to those kids, you know, and I'm sure there's a couple kids out there, you know, in that group, you know, that he definitely maybe helped them start to change their lives.
Oh, most and, definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. You know, and that's you know, it's like his mission, you know, and we're both very like-minded like that. So you know, he's my boy, man. Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to coming out and do something.
Just we're going to get you out. We're definitely going to get you out. I got to get you out at Reality Wrestling. And you talk about great speakers, though, and you talk about a great promo even. One of the best promo guys of all time has to be the man that was just announced as the newest inductee of the WWE Hall of Fame, Jake the Snake Roberts. This announcement happened last night. How are you feeling about that? Because I know Jake's your buddy.
Well, you know what? Jake is one of the poster boys for DDP Yoga.
Yeah. You know, you talk about a good spot on Old School Raw. When he came out, man, he looked like $1 million. He looked better than he did in the 80s.
it was awesome. And what really opened up here is that, and this is what we're just, you know, most people don't know this, but we started filming this as a movie. You know, that's how I brought it to Jake. The movie is called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. And we started filming this, gotta be, 16 months ago. So, the movie, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, you know, our goal in the beginning of the movie, and Jake didn't, he thought we were crazy when we first said it, was like, our goal is to end at WrestleMania. WrestleMania and Jake being inducted to the Hall of Fame. That's the goal. And there's no way Jake will tell you that he believed that there was even a question of a shot at it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, as of Monday, it's a reality.
Man, and you know, it's crazy, you know, because I've really been on this kick since, even since I started DDP Yoga, and, you know, just the past few months, I've gotten to be this real positive guy. I really is focused on positive energy. And I guess when you put stuff out there like that in the atmosphere and you say this is going to be the end goal and you believe in it, it actually can come true. Look at that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that you have to, at first, anything and everything starts as an idea, a dream, a goal. You know, you have to first think it's possible. And then after you think it, you have to believe it.
Yeah.
And then, importantly, you have to work towards it. Because if Jake doesn't put the work in, I don't care how much he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it never would have happened. He put the work in, you know. You know, my girl, my woman, soon to might be my wife. I put a little smile on her face. Brenda always says, she says, it takes a village. And we're most time referring to our kids. You know, but it's with Jake Roberts, it took a village.
It took a village, finally.
It took a village.
Jake is here, going to be in the Hall of Fame. I can't think of a more deserving guy. Who else do you think, if you were a betting man, Diamond Dallas Page, who would you put money on would be in the Hall of Fame along with Warrior and Jake the Snake this year?
I could see, you know, I think Kevin Nash is well overdue. Randy Savage, of course, is well overdue.
Man, Savage has to go in there. Has to be in there.
Rick Rude. You know,
oh, that'd be a good one.
Long overdue. Scott Hall, long overdue. There's a lot of guys deserving that spot that, put the time, put the work in. This takes time, not being, being humbled, I know at some point I deserve to be in there, and at some point hopefully it will happen and become reality. That'll happen when the time is, turn, and then it's my turn. I've found everything that's happened in my life. If I want it to happen so bad, I want it to happen right now. I want it to happen right now. Normally it doesn't. I just got to keep working and keep moving forward. And then right when it happens, it's the best thing ever for me. Like, I thought my career should have taken off in 1994, minimum 1995, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Towards the end of 1996, I was on a rocket. 97, I was one of the most popular wrestlers in the world.
And
according to Pro Wrestling, WCW wanted to be Wrestler of the Year.
Man,
in 1997,
I remember. I was listening to your interview with Steve Austin on the Steve Austin Show this past Thursday, and you were talking about your match with Bill Goldberg. And I remember watching that match, and at the time, all respect to Stone Cold and The Rock and everybody, but at the time, I don't think there was a bigger match that people wanted to see than Diamond Dallas Page versus Goldberg, because that was really the peak of both of y'all's just crazy. Y'all were white hot at the time. WCW was white hot. It was just an amazing match. Especially that we got to see it free on TV.
and I love that. Like I said, I'm thinking, I wanted people to see that match. I never cared about pay-per-view buys. I wanted to see the people watch it. We did an 8.2 rating.
Oh,
I believe
Jesus.
That, it's not the highest rating ever. It's definitely up there in top three or highest ratings of all time.
8.3 was the I didn't even know that. Wow.
8.2.
That, you don't even get ratings like that anymore on anything. You know what I mean? Like, an 8.2 is out of this world.
That was a special time. But WCW had done a bunch of times, done sevens.
Yeah.
In a quarter hour, done seven.
Geez. Well,
all good.
Well, so when's your next workshop, Diamond?
The next workshop that I'll have will be over in Europe. I'll be in London and in Manchester for Deep Yoga. I'm also doing those Q&A tour while I'm there, hitting a bunch of, Scotland and Ireland. It's going to be really cool. I've never been to Ireland. I'm looking forward to that. Going to Belfast and to Cork. So I'm looking forward to some fun. And then I come back and I'll go right down to WrestleMania. And we're doing it at the Holiday Inn. All the information is up on ddpyoga.com. Just click under DDP appearances, and it'll be right there. And then I'm heading down to Mexico for the retreat, which is 11 days. You go for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. I got 20 people coming for all 11 days already. I cut it off at 70. Last year I let 80 in, but it's too many people. I'll cut it back to 70 this year. And it's a good time.
Definitely. I'm definitely gonna have to come to the Holiday Inn during WrestleMania weekend. I'm definitely gonna make my way down there. And right now, I'm gonna get on the phone with Book. We got to get you down here in April.
You got it, brother.
I appreciate you, Diamond. You have a great day too, man.
Yeah.
All right, peace. And the sound of the iPhone hanging up means that's all the time we have for you today here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. I thank you. DJ Motai thanks you. Make sure y'all go follow Diamond Dallas Page on Twitter at RealDDP or at DDP Yoga. And you can go to ddpyoga.com for more information on everything Diamond Dallas Page related and DDP Yoga related. Look at that, though. Not a bad episode. We had AVE, Ave 11. We had DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. Back on the show, both of them back on the show. It's been a series of returns here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We'd like to thank y'all for tuning in once again. Make sure y'all check us out next week. We're going to have a brand new episode for you. Y'all stay tuned. Till next time, this is Brad Gilmore for the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. Dig it.